live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, it's Sunday. It's time for a Sunday sermon. That's the only day of the week you can do a Sunday sermon on. I've checked. I hope that you're all fantastically well, as is the saying of every podcaster out there, but why not jump on that bandwagon? Because it's nice. It's nice to ask. But I do sincerely hope you're all well. Anyway, how have you all been? Tell me. Really? Wow, how very interesting. I've been good too. The sun is cracking the flags here in Liverpool and indeed the whole of the UK. However, as you all know, I'm not one for sun. Right now, as I speak, I'm talking to you from inside the living room. I have a fan on and Becca's on the balcony enjoying the weather and eating her breakfast. I, on the other hand, like a little hermit crab, like to be cold, condensed and in the dark. I don't know why condensed. Anyway, what have we been up to? So yesterday, Becca abseiled off Liverpool Anglican Cathedral. And if you want to Google Liverpool Anglican Cathedral, you'll see it's effing huge. It really is. It's ginormous. And she done it with her mother for Alderhay Children's Hospital, like a charity thing. And very good. But she's told me since she wouldn't do it again. She said it's the first kind of time in her life that something has been worse than what she assumed it would be. And if she knew how bad it would have been, as in heights, scared, etc., she probably wouldn't have done it. So she's glad she did do it, but I don't think she'll be doing it again anytime soon. And I, of course, have a legit phobia of heights, so there would have been no chance of me doing it. And all my mates are like, oh, you're bad, you're a bad coward, you're a shitbag, you're this, you're that, the other. And I'm like, you can literally call me anything you want. There is no way on earth that if I go over 8 foot in height, I get wobbly. If I go on an incline more than like 6 degrees, I have to fall over and cling onto the side of the road. And I'm being genuinely serious there. So there's no way I'm going to be abseiling off any sort of building anytime soon. No siree. Oh, yeah. And do you remember last week I went and got my tarot cards done and she focused on my knees and said, oh, I can see red around your knees. And I was like, well, it's not me. Guess who's had shocking pain in his left knee and lower left leg all week? Like me. Sincerely, like to the point where I thought I might have a DVT or something. It was shocking. So she picked that one up. Also, do you ever have a little joke with yourself? I do. And what I mean by that is a joke where you just make yourself laugh. So for example, a couple of months ago, the phrase, how'd you like those apples? I was all about. And anytime we would see a picture of an apple or we'd walk past apples in the supermarket, I would say, how'd you like those apples? And it would trigger me to say it every time I seen an apple. And I do it to the point of exhaustion because I think, It's funny to me, then it stops being funny to me. And then it goes down this like bell curve and back up where I'm like, it's funny again, hooray. So I'll keep doing it until I've absolutely killed it, kill the life out of it. Anyway, my newest one, which I need to stop, is saying to myself, you know the rhyme, I know an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. And then she eats bigger things to kill the littler thing that she's just eaten. So she looked like a dog, and then she looked like a tractor, and then she looked like the Death Star, and then the entire universe. That's not how it really goes, but you know what I mean. And then at the end of all the things she's eaten, like, she swallowed the Death Star to kill the planet. Perhaps she'll die. Anytime somebody said, I don't know why, like, for example, I don't know why I took the dog for a walk, in my brain I go, perhaps she'll die. Because it's that I don't know why triggers me off. Anyway, me and Becker had a heated argument over something the other day. And I was making perfectly valid points. Perfectly valid points. And she was replying with her perfectly valid points. Back and forth, back and forth. And then she said the infamous line, I don't know why you always have to start an argument. And literally my brain pushed every part of that argument out of my head. And literally pacified me immediately, and I didn't know why we were arguing, simply because in its place was the line, perhaps she'll die. And I was like, oh God, I've really forgot everything, and I just want to say that line. So, yes, so there's a tip. If you don't want to be an angry young man, or who's young, bloody hell, an angry middle-aged man, then get yourself some trigger words and say some nonsensical sentences instead of arguing with your partner at work to treat for me. Anywho, none of this is scary. I tell you what is scary though, today's call. So this week I've been very busy in the recording sense of the word. So I spoke to Diana, who we will hear from today through the week. And she's going to tell us all about her sensitive friend. And I don't mean sensitive as in you say, those pants don't fit and she goes off crying. I mean sensitive as in to spirit, yes. And then next week we will speak to the wonderful Steph, who I also had the pleasure of talking to this week, but she will be on next week. However, both calls are indeed full of paranormal purveyance and particular parlance. Several P's. Anywho, should we say thank you to our wonderful patrons? I think we should, because without the patrons, you're not listening to this. It's as simple as that. It's black and white. So I do need to say a big thank you to all those guys, and I will. But before I do so, however, I would like to remind you all, if you wish to become a patron, not only do you receive 2 extra shows each and every week, yes, you do, and there's over 150 of them over there now, just for Patreon access to listen to, you also get to support the show, which I think is a bloody lovely thing to do if you like listening to it. Yes, I do indeed. So you can sign up to Patreon by going to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Just like these wonderful people have. Let's see who's signed up to Patreon this week. Shall I get the guitar? The guitar is well and truly out, as you can hear by that background noise. And we need to say thank you to the following people. Jodie Upton, Megan, Kerry McKenzie D'Amato, Sue Ellen Chalmers, Matt Mayle, and Miranda Albert, or Albert. And we're going to do that, obviously, via song. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Ooh. Jodie Upton, Megan, Carrie McKenzie, D'Amato, Miranda Albert, Matt Mayle, not to forget Sue Ellen Chalmers. I want to say thank you. You're keeping the show alive. You're keeping the lights on too, in my mind. That was quite 80s, wasn't it? Oh, it didn't end it on a 7th, hold on. There we go, ended it on a 7th. Quite an 80s rock anthem there for all our new wonderful Patreons. Thank you very much. Don't forget, you can become a Patreon by signing up at patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Now let's get some spook on. Okay, so it's my favourite time of the week when we get to sit down with one of our amazing listeners and hear all about their spooky personalities, or indeed, life. So I'm with the wonderful Diana. Diana, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. And whereabouts over the pond are you calling from?
I am in Dallas, Texas, in the middle of the city, so.
Oh, very good. And is Texas the big hubbub that we all believe it is over in England?
I think so. Everything really is bigger in Texas.
Oh, very good. Well, funny enough, we've got a friend who has been living in Texas for 12 months. They've just come back to Liverpool now. His wife is a Texan, and they're trying to sort out all the visa stuff. So I think she's going to come back to Texas shortly. So yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Texas anyway, I'll have to double check. So yeah, apparently it's a lovely place. He loves it over there. He was working in a garden center, or whatever you would call that over there.
Okay.
Garden interesting center. Info, aren't I? I'm just full of interesting facts such as that.
I'm just curious where in Texas.
Yeah, I need to find out exactly, actually. Okay, so yeah, I asked people to reach out if they had some spooky things to talk about. You reached out and you said that a friend of yours is a sensitive. And we were going to have a little chat about that.
Yes. So they'd like to remain anonymous. So they pronouns and no names or anything, but they've been a part of my life for a long time. And they have a pretty extreme sensitivity in my opinion. You know, I think it's a sliding scale and it depends on what experiences you have, but visual things, there's a sense of knowing all of that. So,
yeah. Okay, well, that's interesting. I know we're not going to, as you say, I'm not going to ask any questions about gender or names or age or where they live or anything like that. But you've known them a long time, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so where would you want to start with talking about their experiences?
I guess I will start in my Floridian childhood home. I've kind of lived all over the US, okay. But I lived in Florida the longest, and at my home there, you know, when I was a teenager, that was the computer room in the home office. Yeah. And I spent, countless hours up past 3 in the morning sitting on the internet doing whatever middle schoolers do.
Yeah.
And I remember pretty distinctly that a certain time of night, it just felt uncomfortable to be in there. And that's about the time that I would pack up and go back to my bedroom and go to sleep. Yeah. But nothing really happened. But there was a conversation where we had we had about this place later in life where I was mentioning that it had made me uncomfortable sort of in the evenings. And they said, oh yeah, there was something in the corner. And I was, of course, my automatic reaction was what was in the corner? Well, what do you mean? Yeah. There was something in the corner of my childhood home. Tell me more. And they said, oh, you know, well, it was there. It wasn't really like a person. It was like a gremlin or something. And,
oh, well, you need all that, don't you? I mean, that's worse.
Yeah. But then it gets a step farther and then they go, oh, but I sent it away when it started making me uncomfortable.
Wow. Like
I had it go. And I was like, you never told anyone. You exercised some sort of gremlin creature out of the home office. And that was, I mean, it's so blasé, like in passing.
That's fantastic. So they managed to come in, notice this thing, and basically, for want of a better phrase, exercise it out of the house without you knowing anything about it.
Yeah, you know, and it's nothing that I'd been, you know, acutely aware of. I'd never had any experiences, nothing had ever moved around. And when you're up that late in the evening, I just always sort of put it down to, well, it's 3 a.m. and I've been reading, you know, scary stories on the internet. Of course, I'm going to be a little uncomfortable. Yeah. But apparently there was maybe more to that than I'd ever thought.
So. Well, we've spoke about it on the show. There's many a person who believes that, like, dark entities live in the corners of rooms and in houses. So by all accounts, your friend, you know, has seen something, I genuinely believe.
So
amazing.
And that was my introduction. I really hadn't known anything about that beforehand, but that opened up this conversation. And since then, they told me a lot of stories about their past, nothing that I'll get into now because I have bits and pieces of things all over the place. But
yeah.
On when I was in university, I'm in my graduate degree now, but when I was an undergrad, I had a pretty major operation, a stomach surgery, and I was in hospital. And my goodness, I remember, you know, because they put you under and you're on anesthesia. And I remember waking up after the surgery. And of course, I was horribly uncomfortable. I felt ill. I've never been very good with painkillers. So I felt awful the whole time. But this person stayed in the room with me the whole time, adamantly praying. And anytime that like my mother or my grandmother would come in and sort of take over the watch, they sort of received these instructions to do the same thing. And one thing that was really pointed about my time in the hospital, there were several other people that had undergone essentially the same surgery that I had. It was an elective surgery. Yeah. So we were all within 24 hours, we'd all have the same surgery. I was the first person out of my room that was walking. And it wasn't because it wasn't horrible to walk. I didn't have any spontaneous healing, but I felt so much better when I was out of my room than I did when I was laying in my bed, for whatever reason. And I thought, you know, well, of course I'm working things out of my system. I had an IV drip, all that jazz. But after I'd been discharged, this person told me there was something horrible in your room. And I don't know what it was, but it was malicious. And they said it gave them the same feeling that they got when someone was on the verge of death. So they'd walked into the hospital to check on me and had immediately thought that there had been some horrible complication in my surgery. Like that was what they initially thought. But then they put their hand on mine, felt better about me, realized it was something else within the room, and said that at that point it was constant vigil because something negative, something evil was in that room.
Oh my Christ. And is it an old hospital?
In America, especially in the South, this is in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So no, not particularly. I mean, I don't have any dates on it, but it was a modern looking building. And
that's kind of irrelevant what I've just asked there, because people die in it regardless. So it's irrelevant how old it is. It could still have had 10, 20, 30 deaths in that room.
And it was a surgical hospital that had many different doctors working out of it. So there were all kinds of surgeries happening there. But I'm of the opinion that like in the wild, things hunt, like wolves hunt the weakest thing in the group. Yeah. They're hunting the smallest, weakest deer. Where, I mean, it's a hospital. That's where the weakest of us are. That's oftentimes the lowest, most horrific point of our lives, right? That's when we're at our worst. We don't have a guard up. So
You think there's something stalking the hospital then? Something malicious stalking around in the spirit world?
It's perfectly possible. And wow. I mean, it's not defensible. And I don't know that this entity was something that was looking for things. It could very well have been someone that died in a negative way in that hospital room. Who knows? Who's to say? But it, yeah. The fact that it felt like death, or that it felt malicious, was, of course, horrifying to hear when I get out of the hospital and they're like, yeah, I'm glad you're out of that room.
You know what? That's two on the bounce that you've told us there. And on both of them, you found out after the effect. It kind of makes me think now, I'm seriously hoping that you're not in the midst of something that in 2 weeks' time they'll go, oh, yeah, you know, when you were speaking to that guy in Liverpool, there was a demon stood behind you, but we didn't want to tell you because it's gone now. Bloody hell.
You know, I will say this. In their defense, I have been told in the moment. So where I live in Florida, I'm about to move there. My apartment is completely empty behind me because I drive off on the 23rd. But where I live in Florida is near to St. Augustine, which is essentially one of the oldest towns in America. It was colonized by the Spanish. They have the oldest wooden schoolhouse that's still standing in America.
Wow, that's impressive.
Of course, layers upon layers of death because of Spanish influenza and yellow fever, and it was a war zone, and all of that good ghosty. We were walking through, of course, my sister and I are obsessed with doing ghost tours, so we're constantly over there looking for something, and we were just walking through with this person because we know they're sensitive.
Yeah.
So we were having our own private ghost tour. And we went to the well, which is an old historical well. It's one of the original ones in the area.
Yeah.
And while we were stood around the well, they go, touch here. Do you feel anything? Do you feel anything? Mm. And of course I'm walking around the well like an idiot, like, no, what am I touching here and there. And I did actually feel something. It felt, somewhere in between, like when a limb falls asleep and static electricity, but not quite so strong, just like a little bit of tingle. And I was like, oh yeah, I feel something. They go, yeah, there's something here. Like maybe a kid, something.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, that's neat. And of course we keep walking on our way because we're killing time until we go to dinner at a restaurant. And I'm shaking my hand and we're walking and they keep kind of side-eyeing me and they're like, do you feel something? And I was like, yeah, my hand like still feels tingly from over at the well. And they go, oh yeah, it followed you. Like it's holding your hand right now. And I was like, oh no.
No, thank you very much.
No. And of course we had to walk past the well. So we kindly escorted this young child or whoever it was. They said that it felt like maybe a child who had died in the vicinity, which isn't hard to believe.
Yeah.
And we very graciously took it back and said goodbye. And immediately all of this dissipated. I put my hand back on the well and it was gone.
Wow. So, I mean, Diana, do you think I know we're talking about your friend here being sensitive, but so far all three stories have involved you. And do you think it might be like you might be like a Velcro to spirit, so they do attach to you?
I don't think the thing in my house had anything to do with me. This person had told me that it had been there pretty much since we'd moved in. It wasn't something that came. I would love to believe that I'm sensitive, but realistically I haven't really had anything. I've had some experiences, but they've all been external. It's not something that like I've seen something or I've had something move or someone else has experienced something around me, or I've come back to a change. The closest I can say to having an experience was actually in this apartment. There was about a week where I like smelled rotting meat intermittently.
Yeah.
And I cleaned my whole apartment. I have a cat. So I like changed the litter box and bleached the whole litter box, and it would never be like, it was always in the night when I've turned my air down. So it wasn't like the house was getting hot and then like a neighbor's smell was coming in. So of course I saged the hell out of my apartment and was like, get out. I don't know. And it stopped, but
I mean, almost just for the listeners' benefit here, obviously we've both got our videos on because the connection's quite good. But how Diana's sat, there is a door behind her, which is freaking me out because it's just slightly ajar and it's darkness behind.
That's where it was. That's the bedroom. So
I don't like that room. I mean, I'm not saying I have had a lot of coffee and it's very late in the UK here, but I don't like that room. It's a good job you're moving. Let's put it that way. So go on, tell us more about your friend or any more spooky stories that you may have.
Yes. So we'll stay in St. Augustine because this is, to me, the scariest story, and it includes a little fun ghost tidbit.
Okay.
We regularly go on ghost tours in St. Augustine because I love history. This person also loves history. My little sister loves a good scare. So we all go and it's a good time. And there's a specific tour that takes you to places where they've sort of got their own lease on it, but they give you the ghost hunting equipment and they tell you the history and they'll show you pictures that other people have submitted, you know, the usual kit and caboodle. But they have one location, which is actually an apartment above an old English pub. It's so that's the style of it. Obviously it's not really an English pub, but the foundation of this whole place was two Englishmen moved over. I couldn't tell you where from. And they wanted to open a pub like this because at the time there wasn't anything like it in St. Augustine.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's technically Anastasia Island, which is a hop, skip, and a jump. It's across a bridge. It takes 2 minutes.
Okay.
So they opened it up, but they had a really big disagreement on how essentially to run it. One of them wanted it to be a very traditional style where it was just a gentleman only whiskey and, you know, whiskey and cigar situation.
Yeah.
And the other one wanted a more casual, friendly, all are welcome, come in and have a drink.
I see.
So of course they bought this place and they built it. There's an apartment up top where one of them was living and they got into a massive argument. And one of them said, well, I hope you just die. Walked out, slammed the, and said that to the other one. And as the guy was walking out, he collapsed of a massive heart attack.
Oh, see now.
Like, on the threshold.
you could say, is it just a complete coincidence? Or you could say, you know, as we could all imagine here, is some magical curse being invoked by this guy. You just never know. You never know.
It gets worse. So
please continue.
Later on, tell me more. Yeah. Later on, there was a mother and her child who were renting the upstairs apartment, and mental illness, demonic oppression, possession, call it what you will. She ended up murdering her daughter, who was only 4 or 5 years old, in the apartment.
Above the pub.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I can't remember off the top of my head if she killed herself as well, but at least for sure the daughter died. And there was talk of her having some sort of implication that there was a demonic entity from family. So of course, naturally, this ghost hunt is like, we'll rent the apartment. And so they have basically exclusive rights to investigate and record, and they'll take you there. Now, I went on this specific ghost tour with this person, and we're walking through, and it is a creepy apartment. I mean, like bad vibes. And granted, you're going into it with a lot of, you know,
knowledge of what's going on.
But when you walk in, it's very uncomfortable. And as you walk through the hallway, I'd always like, the whole thing made me uncomfortable, but there was a specific portion where I would always walk a little bit faster because I've gone on this tour multiple times. And as we're walking by, the friend goes, "That's a portal." And points to this section in the hallway. And again, you could put your hand on, and it feels that it's somewhere in between that numbing sensation and static electricity, but not, it's like if you put your hand next to something,
I know
that's
what you
electric
mean,
and you can almost feel it, but it's not a real physical sensation.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird. So he goes, "Yeah, there's something coming through there."
Oh, so it wasn't just a portal. There was actually something coming through at the time.
I don't know that anything was in that moment, but he says things travel here. And we go into the bedroom, which had previously been the daughter's room. And we were working with the EMF detectors and dowsing rods, which I don't put a lot of stock in that. And this person looks under the bed and kind of smiles while the tour guide is giving us the whole spiel. And I'm like, oh no, I don't know that I'm going to like what's about to happen. And they lean over again, just sort of, you can tell that they're looking under the bed, and I'm like, oh. Then they wave. And I was like,
what?
And so the rest of the group exited because we were spreading out throughout the apartment. I think there were maybe seven of us in the whole group. So we look on, I look underneath the bed and I don't see anything. Mm. And this person says, she's here. I just saw her hand come out from under the bed. Like, she's in the room right now. She's uncomfortable. She doesn't like how many people are here right now, but that little girl is in this room with us. Jesus. And sure enough, we put that EMF detector underneath the bed. Like, I mean, straight out of Ghost Adventures.
Like, amazing.
The wildest thing. And of course, I'd been in that place before and not had any EMF activity, all of that. Yeah. But it was a pretty significant experience.
Do you know what's really interesting about that though, Diana? It's that theory that that portals exist, you know, and your friend clearly, well, by all accounts, has some sort of natural gift there. But it's something that we've never really discussed on the show. I've never really had that many stories about portals or stuff that, you know, an area, be it on a wall or be it in the middle of a room where stuff can come through. And it blows my mind to think that these things might actually, you know, you could create, for argument's sake, a sort of area that spirit could travel through. A friend of mine a long time ago said his dad, I've told it on the show, he came on the show to say the story actually, his dad was working as a plasterer somewhere in the 70s. They all stayed in digs in Newcastle, and he was staying in this particular room where half the room was painted in like occult symbols, and another room, the wall was all painted black and half painted on another wall, and the guy said they left in a hurry. And the story goes that they were conjuring something through the wall from this portal and didn't expect it to work, and it did. And for want of a better phrase, they all shat themselves and ran away. So it possibly can be done. So amazing.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is we've been back since then, and right next to that location, they've built a massive hotel, which actually looks really cool. It's got like port windows and it's interesting. But it's interrupted it somehow. This person has said that the connection's not as strong. They wouldn't be surprised if there was very little energy coming through anymore, because something about the location and that hotel being built up has changed things.
Amazing. So the implication there is that there's an energy source going to that portal.
Mm-hmm. Like it's some sort of stream rather than like an opening.
Well, again, that kind of ties in with another thing I've heard. I can't even remember where the story was, but it was along the lines very quickly of, you know, in England, and I'm sure in America too, sometimes you'll get terraced houses. So there's like a row of them. There's no gap in between them. Yeah. And in this particular story, whatever ghost it was managing to haunt two houses due to the fact it was traveling through a mirror that was up on one side of a bathroom. And because there was a mirror, right at the back of the next room in the other house, it was able to go through one mirror and out the other mirror. And it was you, because that's what, again, this whole thing about mirrors being slightly spiritual. That's one of the reasons why they think if like you put one either side of a wall, a spirit can go right through. It acts like a tunnel.
I've heard before that you're never supposed to put mirrors facing each other.
Yes,
for that
I've heard that. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying that literally that's how our bathroom's set up.
Oh yeah, I have a full size mirror across from my main mirror. Maybe that's where my stinky demon came from. So
yeah, well, the only thing it seems to be doing with me is giving me thinning hair. So let me see it all the time when I don't want it. So have you got any more scary things for us to know?
I'm trying to think. You know, you asked me that after I've gone through my list.
No worries if you haven't. You've more than enough covered off scary stuff. Tell me about it.
Not necessarily like ghost experiences. I have had what I would like to refer to as like premonitions in the form of dreams.
Yes, that's all about them.
My sensitivity comes in, which granted it's done me absolutely no good because the timing never really gives me any information.
But, or does it give you useful stuff like, or useless stuff like, they will have an offer on yogurt in the supermarket tomorrow? And you're like, hooray.
More or less. The most significant one was actually pretty recent. It was about a year ago. I was in Texas just before COVID shut everything down.
Yeah.
I was in Texas and I'd been seeing this guy sort of casually. We'd officially called each other dating, that kind of thing, but
yeah,
it'd been 3 months or so. And I had a really vivid dream that we'd gone on a date, and for whatever reason, we ended up sleeping in the restaurant, dream logic, right? And while we were sleeping, he turned into someone else, and it turned into a biker bar. And so I ended up leaving with a biker.
Yeah.
I go to Florida because I, you know, I was alone in the apartment with my dog. I was like, this is horrible. I'll go quarantine with my family.
Yeah.
So I go to Florida. Lo and behold, I break up with that guy, start dating my current boyfriend. He is a custom Harley motorcycle mechanic.
No way. That's amazing.
Yes. And it's like this wild thing where he'd known my mother for 2 years before we met. And it'd just been ships in the night. We'd never actually spoken to each other. And I mean, hit it off. We were dating like within a week. It was crazy.
That's amazing. That's got to be meant to be, that. It really has, doesn't it? Let's be honest. What a fantastic story. Go on, carry on. Sorry.
But that's most of it. I've had, you know, like it'll be little things where I'll remember having dreamed that, you know, I've dropped something important. And a month later, I realized that while I was moving, I dropped something that shattered that I should have had. Little things like that, that are sort of useless until they happen. But
so, you're obviously, you said there you're still studying for doing your undergrad, did you say?
I'm doing my graduate degree, my master's.
Doing your graduate degree and your master's, okay. What are you doing it in, if you don't mind me asking?
A master's in music and music education.
Go on.
Yeah, I daylight as a music teacher.
Oh, very good. Well, I sincerely apologize for the Patreon songs then, if you've got an educated musician in front of me.
I wish that I could play guitar half as well as you.
Oh, you flatterer. But no, I must say, you know, so you as clearly an educated person, what would you say is your belief that you may have some form of latent psychic awareness or ability?
My mom says it the best, honestly, in terms of like what I think about super sensory ability.
Mm.
We all detect things differently. Like, for example, I have a mild form of colorblindness. I don't see red and green the same way that other people do. So I function on a limited spectrum of color.
Mm.
Although I can't see how that affects my world because I only have my own perception, other people are seeing far more than me all the time. It doesn't change the reality that those colors exist. So when people are able to see things, it's not that they have something super sensory, something magical. We just don't have that same sense.
What a very good way of looking at it. Yeah.
We talk about like your night vision or your peripheral vision is better and you can see things out of the corner of your eyes because the cones in the back of your eyes detect light differently in your peripheral vision, which is COTEP or COTEP, corner of the eye.
Yeah.
So I don't see these things as something that isn't scientific or is pseudoscientific or mystical or magical. I think that some of us just have some sort of frequency that we pick up that maybe other people can't.
Yeah, no, I think you're completely right. I do. And it's, it's a really interesting one. One of my biggest things really is about perception. And I've got a very skeptical friend. We often, when we get drunk, on the rare occasion that I drink nowadays, but we'll always have an argument, me and him, about ghosts. He's a complete skeptic. And, you know, I'm not like, I don't blindly believe. But my point with him is, again, about perception. Because if I'm sat opposite him at the table, I say to him, listen, the only reason I know you're there is because I can see the light reflecting off you. I can hear the vibrations of your voice. I said, but you might not be unless I come and physically touch you. You could just be a complete hallucination. And he's like, well, no, but you don't know that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying, my point is, everything's subjective. So you could say that everything needs to be tested before it's real. You know, like I just took a call earlier. And on that call, we were talking about a similar thing. And I said, you know, there's been times like your brain can play tricks on you. Like, especially when my eyesight is awful. And I don't normally wear my glasses unless I'm looking at a computer screen. And I should, because they're absolutely shocking my eyes. And, like literally to the point where my eyes, I've been in the supermarket and seen Becca in front of me. She's been in the supermarket at the time. She's just been elsewhere. But I have physically seen her. Like not like, oh, is that her? Oh, no, of course it's not. Like I've looked right at her. It's her face. And I've walked over to her. And her face has melted away and it's became the person that it is. But my brain has
like planted Becca's face over this stranger because they must have had a similar size or similar gait or something. So your brain can do wonderful things.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Like our entire reality is, our perception is incongruent with reality. We see that in physics. We know that molecules and atoms are mostly empty air. It's the electrons circling so fast that make them tangible. But yeah. If you touch a table, it's solid. Even though we know scientifically that it's, you know, absolutely empty, it's physically there for us. So everything that we experience is just chemicals firing in our brain, giving us a sense of what is happening around us so that we can function. Everything in the world has, you know, every creature in the world has a different perception. Sharks see differently from humans, see differently from eagles. Yeah. So sight, sound, all of that is just a sensory component in the brain. We're not actually seeing something. We're just processing information.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, I believe it's foxes can see ultraviolet. That's how they look for each other in the snow. They can see urine in the snow glowing because of ultraviolet. Ultraviolet even. But what makes this, doesn't make me laugh because this is very, it sounds like a very, very bad taste joke, and I've just made it up now, and it possibly might be a bad taste joke, but I'm gonna say it anyway.
Well,
they say that dogs can't see rainbows, right? You know, because apparently they can't, which makes me think that when they die they just go to a bog standard bridge. That was a rainbow bridge joke there, because apparently that's a thing, you know. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to have to let you go because we're getting to our time before this. If we stay on any longer, the signal's going to start cutting out. But thank you so much, Diana, for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. It really has. And, you know, anytime that you can think of any more stories, be it from your friend or be it from yourself or ask around your family, you've been a great guest and it would be brilliant to have you back on.
Absolutely. So I'll go out and find some stories.
Make sure you do, yeah, and sincerely do it and let me know and we'll get you back on. And in the meantime, good luck with your move to Florida. Good luck with your God-sent relationship, by all accounts. And just make sure you shut that door behind you before you leave, because there's definitely something in there.
I need one more good scare, right? I have my own ghost account to fill with stories now, so...
Yeah, that's true, yeah. That's a good point, actually, yeah. Well, sincerely, once again, thank you, Diane. It's been an absolute pleasure.